Jay the Toy Hater, your new handle. You love doing this show every week now.
I love it.
You love talking about how much you hate toys.
Yeah, I hate all the toys. I hate having my money extorted, but in the end, I have no one to blame but myself.
You can still love something without owning it, can't you? Like, people love sports teams, and they don't need to own the sports team.
Right, but it's training myself, right? Because you know me. So it's like, well, I want something. I'm going to find a way to get that something. Case in point, this week I was in a shop, and I had Sergeant Slaughter in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, well, is this going to be my purchase for
the year?
Maybe.
Which Sergeant Slaughter? There's two Sergeant Slaughters. I imagine the classified one.
Yeah.
He comes with a mini Slaughter as well. What is that about?
I don't know.
He comes with a mini Sergeant Slaughter on a mini card. Pretty sure.
Well, there was that trend. I think it was last year or the year before. I think it was 2020 when people were taking shots of their figures holding a figure. I even did some of those. They're called, I forget what they're called, the mini figures.
World's smallest heroes.
World's smallest, yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It looked cool. My Slaughter's holding a Slaughter.
I seem to remember getting like Megator or somebody holding Nintendo Quest Blu-rays and taking pictures of that.
Well, that's just great.
That was my trend. Didn't take off. Didn't really go.
That was Megator. That's your problem right there.
Welcome back to another episode of the Jay and Rob Maybe Sometimes Talking About Toy Show.
You're only allowed to talk about one thing, even though it's called a toy show.
Then you have to switch. Then you have to switch. You can do something for 3 years and then do something else. Yep. It's what people I know call affectionately being a summer punk, where you're just... I love that term. Where cool. You just do one thing for a summer, and then all of a sudden the fall comes and it's something else. Yeah.
I can definitely see parts of that in me for sure. We're talking last week about how G.I. Joe collecting for me is a summertime thing. Maybe why I put the Slaughter down. Eh?
Oh, past Labor Day. Can't buy this dolly.
Oh, it burns in my hand.
Extreme conditioning for toy buying.
I don't know why G.I. Joe in the summertime. I don't know. And I would guess
it's because playing outside.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And the winter seems to be more vintage stuff for some strange reason. I don't know why.
It's old and dusty and you're in the basement digging for them.
Yeah, it's like, well, it's cold outside. No one wants to go outside when it's cold. So it's like, I'll just go in the basement and see what I can dig up. And I'll just be happy with that because I don't want to go
to a store and have to put my boots and a scarf on. We got lots of comments about the lack of scarves as of late. We were once the scarf lords, as people have been noticing on the best of action figure spotlight videos that are rolling out. And the latest week has several guests with us. Slice back together. We all have scarves and there's like four of us all scarved up.
Is that back when we were fun, Rob?
Back when half the show used to like toys.
My wallet doesn't like toys anymore, but I do.
Either does your brain, apparently. Either does your mouth.
Apparently.
This week's icebreaker, of course, all these shows are brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store, Heroes Comics and Cards, Mockmasters, and Retro Rags, all toy loving vendors, unlike my co-host. This week's icebreaker, are video games better than toys because it's okay to still play with them as they're intended? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, you don't feel silly playing a video game where you play, or you feel silly when you pick up Flint and Lady J and have them.
Yeah, because, you know, we kind of play with toys now because we put them on display in our shelves and we pose them. And that's how we play now. But that's not really, you know, playing like we used to play. But video games, the type of play has never changed. So are video games better than toys because you haven't had to change the way you play with them?
No, there's some games I still feel pretty silly playing, to be honest.
Yeah, but you can still play them.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to like reinvent what that means. Like, you can still collect games and toys the same way. You can still hunt them down, but you can't play mix up or, you know, do whatever like we used to with the one thing, whereas we can still do that with the other.
And Lord knows we've tried. We've tried. I've tried to. Well, I mean, you have kids, so it's different. You have that pass.
Yeah, they're beyond it now. Well, my daughter, not so much. My son is definitely, he loves figures, but now he's already like at the age of 8, he's an adult collector. He likes putting them on his shelf.
Well, it's over.
He's a shelf.
So to answer the question, yeah, like kids really don't play with toys anymore. That's 100% sure. Eight years old, done. Yeah. Me was 16. For you, it was 30.
Although it's strange because every now and then my son, like if he sees me and my daughter play, he'll join in. He'll want to be a part of that story. So he's got to kind of either get lured or like be in the right kind of mood for it, which is still refreshing. But no, he loves video games. Very much a gamer.
Well, look whose dad is, right? There you go.
There you go. So, yeah. I always thought that was the one thing about collecting games because you could at least always play them. Whereas with dollies, you have to just put them on your shelf. Especially if you don't open them.
Which is torturous. I think over the last few years, you and I both started opening a lot more toys. And I'm so torn now because they're so great out of the package.
Yeah, they are.
But they look so cool in the package. But there's nothing like feeling it in your hand.
You said it a million times. That tactile experience is so important.
That last Ronin blank, I'm not going to say his name, like he was incredible to actually touch and feel. And he felt like the old Playmates toys. He felt like a toy. Like he felt like I could drop it and he wasn't going to NECA explode or snap. You know what I mean? He wasn't all stiff like a McFarlane. Like he felt like a real toy. It was great.
I still have yet to open mine on the shelf, but I am definitely going to do that for sure.
Are you going to get the NECA one?
No, I don't think I will. Just because
I want to see it, but
There's two. There's an armored and an unarmored one, and we talked about this when they were first announced. I just don't have a lot of faith in NECA plastics.
Speaking to piggyback that, I saw Twin Pines Doc Brown the other day too.
Yeah, and
I couldn't do it. I also passed on 2015 Doc Brown as well. Because the NECA plastic, I've talked about my Marty story, my first Marty McFly figure, I pulled him out, guitar strap broke, and the headphones broke.
Yeah.
And I didn't even do anything. I'm not a yanker. I'm very cautious, and it was like it had already been dried. It was like dry rotting already. I was like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, and I've had too many instances with the turtle stuff from NECA that's just like, breaks like right off. It's like, well, I guess this character doesn't need an ankle to stand up.
Well, just, and it's a hard break. Like it's, you feel
there's there's nothing forgiving about it. It's not like you can push your limit and then, okay, I can stop. It's on or off. It's broken or it's good.
It's there's like no, the old no Zap G.I. Joe figure, that weird green plastic that is just brittle, or Serpentor is another one who breaks.
Oh, the cape. Yeah. So here's one that I did get from NECA. But this, I don't know if it's because it's a glow-in-the-dark one, but this is almost, there's a rubberiness to this Muckman glow-in-the-dark variant from the cartoon. There's a rubberiness to these, to all of the limbs, which was quite surprising. Like, I can actually squeeze the legs.
Sure.
So that was a surprising figure to come across from NECA. But maybe it's because of the translucent glow-in-the-dark dye or whatever that they inject it. I don't know. But I had that sent to me open, so I didn't have that a choice.
Well, now you got to open the rest. No.
No. Maybe, Jay.
I'm finding it easier to open as well because
I just want the space.
The space, sure. Yeah. And packaging too. And I'm not talking about windowless Hasbro. I'm just talking in general. I haven't seen a lot of really super great packaging. Like the last Ronin again, it was okay, the box, but it made it a lot easier to open. I think when it's not on a card back, I find it easier to open because there's that chance you can still put it back if you change your mind. But yeah, when it's on that card back, you rip it off. It's like, it's so final.
That's why I don't mind the Origins or any like vintage Masters. Not that you'd open a vintage Masters, but there's no picture on it. So it's so easy just to throw away, right? Like you're not destroying any graphic.
Uniform. Yeah. Yeah.
Now at DCon, Designer Con, that was just in, the LA area, they announced some Labyrinth figures that are 4-inch scale. Now, this is that sweet Superpowers scale, a little bit bigger than Joe, a little bit smaller than Turtles. And much like a Reaction figure, they have really great art on the side, and the figures look really good. So, depending on price point, probably $30 for a 4-inch figure. It'll be, I don't know if I'll be able to open those because the images look so cool, like a Star Wars kind of, you know, movie snap. Or sure. If I'll want it on its shelf, you know, just as in the sculpt looks pretty good too. So that'll be one where I get tossed up. But yeah, it's a tough thing to do with packaging on card backs. Somebody sent in a topic a couple of weeks ago. Most of today's show is left over from last week since we got so many viewer questions. We got more to get to. Somebody sent in a topic about competitive collecting in the same way that video games has gone to like esports, and obviously sports in itself is competitive by nature, head to head, and gaming for the most part is either you versus the computer or the AI or whatever kids are calling it nowadays, or you versus one other person or other people. Does toy collecting get to that? Is there ever going to be like an e-collecting, an e-toys collecting championship where you got like 30 days to go out and who can collect the most stuff? Maybe that's our next show.
I mean, I asked you a long time ago what you thought the difference between the two communities were, being toy and video game. And you said the main thing is video games by design are competitive.
It's true.
Every game is competitive. And I don't think toy collecting by design, it can become competitive, sure. We've run across a few. It's not as bad as gaming because games are designed to be competitive. So I don't know. Would that be very interesting to anyone to see?
No, I don't think it would be interesting, but I still stand by that. I think games are like who's got the higher score, and that kind of matters the most.
It's a competition.
And even game collecting is that to that degree. Like my game collection is better than yours, and I think only in the last probably 3 or 4 years has that started to feel a little bit more part of the toy world because of all the exclusives that have come out there, the regional, the con exclusives, the timed exclusives, the pre-order timed subscription based Hasbro Pulse, spend $50 to get a chance at this kind of exclusive. That's where it's starting to feel competitive, at least on the commercial side, not necessarily on the collector side, but there is a little bit of bragging rights, you know, when you're able to score that figure, not in a malicious way. I think it's first and foremost a self-healing kind of, oh, thank God I got it. Now I can go to sleep tonight. And now that hole in my heart is a little bit fuller for the moment until the next figure arises, versus I am filling that hole with the fact that I got it and you didn't. I don't see too much of that in the toy community. The na-na-na-boo-boo, I got this and you don't. Can't get this. But maybe one day they do get this.
And there's a lot of congratulations too. Like, oh man, you got the Arctic Storm Shadow. Good job, man. It's not like, oh, why did he get it and I didn't? That's bullcrap. I don't see.
Well, the only time I can think of about that is was pretty recently, actually. I was in a toy store and you mentioned the last Ronin figure, the black and white one. And I'm like, oh, somebody got that black and white figure. Why did they get it? They're probably not even a real turtle fan. And I didn't get to that black and white Ronin figure. Huh.
Oh, me. I like that story.
Yeah, I bet you like that story every time you glance at your shelf. Black
and I don't even know where it is. I think it's, I don't even know where that figure is. If you want it, you can have it. $20, $30, $80. No, that would be regular price. Just kidding.
I got one downstairs. Coming.
I like that story. I think it was great. I don't particularly like the cartoon. I'm not going to apologize for that. You know, It was
Jay. That's not how this works. That's not how pop culture fandom works. You like it all or you like nothing.
Right.
Okay. And you like a lot less of Turtles than you do of it. There's more that you don't like than you do like. So
really
jettison your turtle collection now.
Yeah. Well, if you look at my turtle collection, it's reflective of what I like. The only figure I have, I think, that's pushing it is Leatherneck, Leatherface. What's his name?
Leatherhead.
See?
I can tell you're a huge fan.
Me?
I like Leatherneck too. He's my favorite.
Leatherneck from G.I. Joe. But he was in a two-pack with the other guy.
Splash?
Yeah. See? You could see exactly where my boundaries are because I can't even remember their names.
And I was like the guy that I don't
remember. And I was like, why did I get these two? That was the last NECA ones I got. Because I'm like, I don't even know. And you know, our buddy Peter, Electrified Porcupine, he's always texting me every week. I got this weird variant of Bebop and Rocksteady from that one episode where they dressed up like pirates and stuff. I'm just like, I'm happy for you. And I got
these ones where they're bunnies.
I have no idea what that is, but I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. He's all in on stuff. He's still doing the rule of two for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, we were talking last week about just how it's like I'm so down about a lot of this stuff. And I figured it out. It's because I want to keep going full steam and buy all this stuff. But I'm finally at a point, much like I'm sure you are, where we've hit a wall, not by choice. But it's like, well, if we want to, you know, still have a place to live, we got to stop. And it's like, since adult collecting resurfaced again for you and me in 2000, 2001, we've just been going full steam and it's been not really a problem. Now, I've had to retrain myself to be like, okay, well, you can't get all this stuff now. It's not because I don't want it. It's just because it's so expensive. And I know that sounds a little bit brattish for me to say, perhaps, but that's just the way I've been, right? I'm just so conditioned to getting this stuff. Now I'm forced to, and it's really bumming me out, you know, like Sergeant Slaughter, I had to put him down.
You didn't have to.
Well, the figure we have today to show off on Spotlight, I chose it over Sarge because I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going one or two a month at that price point. So I put Sarge back, and I'm just not used to having to make that choice.
That's fair, though.
There you go. I just want to clarify.
Okay. The clarification is Jay doesn't like toys. And it
I've been told.
And so he picks them up and throws them down.
I was jamming the other day, too, and I needed a break, so I put the guitar down. And I got like 50 messages. Oh, you don't like music anymore? I'm like, oh, sorry. I
pick up the guitar. Pick it up. Better keep doing it. Don't disappoint people. Sorry. Don't think for yourself. Don't collect what you love. Get Leatherneck. Be a good turtle fan. You'll be great.
And no, Leatherneck and the other guy.
Yeah, that's true. What's your favorite NECA cartoon 2-pack? Leatherneck and the other guy? That's the best. Speaking of... kind of where action figure collecting is going. That's a
big uncross your friggin' arms, man. Uncross
no, your arms. No, it's I'm contemplating you thinking, look like why you're
am I like, kill somebody.
I'm staring out my window from Nakatomi Plaza and I'm just not thinking this Christmas.
What floor are you, by the way? What floor are you?
Should I sound impressive or just tell you the truth?
Are you on the floor one?
No, I'm a little, Jay, come on now.
No, tell me.
Do you think successful pop culture entrepreneurs like ourselves, I wouldn't be above the first floor?
Tell me, Metropolis, what floor are you on, the top?
Sitting in the back of the bus is like a privilege and like you earn it with seniority, right? It's like you've earned that respect. So you've got to be at the top of the office tower because that's where the best people go. I'm on floor 6, Jay. That's the story of my life.
That's pretty good.
6 of 25, I think.
I thought for a second, and I won't say too much, but I thought for a second you were looking outside at the beautiful scenery that you get to look out at.
What I get is another office building about a baseball throw away.
Oh, you don't get to see the street?
No.
Oh, lucky you.
No. Well, I sort of get to see the Delta Armories Hotel that way.
Lucky you.
And I can't see anything that way. I don't get to see it. No. I was going to say, let's talk about episode 6 of Action Figure Adventure, which dropped on Jinx Esports TV Canada, because I believe there's a section in that about the future of collecting and what people are feeling, which is quite timely to how much you hate toys now. You get some other toy regret from some other well-known people.
I don't hate toys now. That's hilarious.
How many times do you have to say that to yourself in the mirror until you believe it?
I don't have news. You know, they just break. All those
your reflection doesn't show up anyways.
All those wonderful collectors in that segment hate toys too, apparently. So there you go. Everyone. Bottom's falling out, my friend. That's it. It's over.
Well, no, that's not true. There's one line in that segment. So in episode 6, there's a discussion on the future of action figures, which ironically was supposed to be in season 1 of Action Figure Adventure, but we didn't have enough runtime to place it. And I didn't want to use people from that filming session because it would have looked weird. And some of the comments wouldn't have lined up given what people were talking about. So it just made sense to go with the current take on it. And the one line that I like, I think, is from Pixel Dan. He goes, you know, I will never stop liking toys, but I just don't know how much longer I'm going to be collecting them.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to be collecting these when I'm 50 and 60 years old looking for all this stuff? I don't know.
That's a really, really good question. Let me ask you that. Do you see yourself at 60 years old?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Why not? I mean, my grandparents, you know, were into their hobbies. They raised me and they always collected what they collected, you know, until, I mean, my grandpa still collects what he collects. My grandma did it, you know, up until the year that she passed away. You know, if you like something, why would you arbitrarily stop? I mean, sure, you can get priced out of something. Sure, the availability might not be there, but there's always something of the thing that you like that is accessible.
And we were talking before we started recording just about some stuff with me, and it was really good to talk about that kind of stuff. And you're saying, you know, this is a part of what we are, is a part of what we've always been. So to stop, it's collecting. I think that's what I'm having such a problem with the toys. It's that I don't want to stop and yet I have to stop. And it's like a part of me is like, I don't understand. I don't understand what's happening. It's like, Hasbro, why are you being so mean to me? What did I do to you? You know, I feel that's like fair. That. It's like a shift in lifestyle change. And yes, it is that dramatic for me.
So but this is okay. So I guess maybe the difference with me versus you here is I get this every year when hockey ends. Okay. Cause I'm a big hockey fan and all of a sudden, you know, your favorite team more than likely gets knocked out of the playoffs. And then for you, the season is over. Yes. You could go on and watch whatever teams are left, go for the Stanley Cup. And maybe you're a diehard fan. You need to do that, which I do because I just want to watch good hockey and I want to see who's going to win. But inevitably, at some point early June, there is no more hockey. There's free agent day that happens July 1st, and then there's no hockey news until the end of September, essentially, when training camp ends. So there's 3 months where there's nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all that you can have that daily fix, find the news stories, see the new interviews, check in on training camp, you know, how people are doing, see the highlights. There's nothing. It's cold turkey, completely done.
Yeah.
And so this has been baked into me where dramatic changes of the things I love are completely, you know, the rug is pulled out from underneath me. And the flowers are still standing because you get through it.
Yeah, it's just that's a good analogy, actually. So for me, I think it's just going to be time, and I've already started to get used to it a little bit. Just slowing down on stuff and having to kind of to choose. But again, I've talked about how the winter is a lot more vintage stuff for me anyway. So I'm kind of focusing, just checking out stuff on eBay, looking at some auctions, looking at a couple lines I want to finish, like Brave Star still. I want to finish that. I recently finished Buck Rogers. That was a nice accomplishment during the summer as well. But I mean, that was, doesn't contradict what I just said, but I happened to find that last figure that I needed for Buck Rogers. Right. So that finished it.
What did you think of episode 6 from Action Figure Adventure season 2? You're laughing already.
Well, I can't really say much. Well, the beginning half of the episode, there's a lot of great emotional stuff. There's a lot of, The first half, I said, there's a lot of giving, a lot of giving. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it or who can't see it yet. It's really great. And there's a lot of times that, you know, I'm at a loss for words, which isn't too often, but there's a few spots in the first half where I am. We get some really couple great pieces. You and I bicker back and forth, which is always kind of nice to see. I was wondering if you were going to leave that in there, and you did. There's some something you really want me to do that I'm pretty much dead set against, but you know, you're directing me to do so, so I do so. That was cool to see that. Because, you know, I'm there, you're there.
You did not like that in the moment, I'll tell you that.
No. Absolutely. You can tell I don't like it when you watch the episode. You can tell I feel uncomfortable. And I almost want to, I'm almost looking at you and I look at Dave, right? And Ryan, I'm like, are we going to cut this? Like, can we cut? And nobody says anything. It's just like, okay, I guess
we're they work for me, Jay. They work for me.
Conversation.
Yes, we are.
Giant Robot, yeah, great, freaking amazing store. Just amazing. A little bit of everything, which is great. I love the middle segment. We talked this whole season of our podcast here. We started up again. We've brought up prices and the bottom dropping and what's going to happen when our generation is gone. Are our kids going to look at this stuff in the same way? It's a really great segment. And then and then you have the end. The end is the end. You can say what you want about the end, but
well, just describe the. You go to a store called Lost World, Games, Toys, and Records, I believe is the full title. And,
Okay.
Go ahead.
Lost World is, if you want to visualize it with me, everyone right now, picture the beginning cave in Raiders of the Lost Ark when Indy is going for the idol, the fertility idol. That whole cave is like Lost World. And I mean that with the utmost respect.
No, no, no. Lost World is like the end of Raiders, the warehouse with boxes everywhere, but as if they've been smashed open and rearranged and shook like a snow globe.
I think
there's stuff everywhere.
There's just traps and danger at all points.
Oh,
you got to watch your step and you got to stay out of the light.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, stay out of the AC vent.
Yeah, it's this really great store. And again, I'm not going to give away anything that we found. Some stuff that's just you never see. Oh, so much stuff that you never see. But it's like this really crazy Pac-Man maze that you kind of, if you go towards the back, you think you might not make it out, but then you can kind of see the trail, kind of.
The thing is, once you get to the back, you realize you can't turn back and go back the way you came. You have to find an alternate exit because of the way the store is. It's like tilted on an axis or something because you don't realize how you got as far as you did. Once you turn around, you don't recognize the terrain.
But I mean, the owner of the store, Brick, he describes it as, you know, the world's coolest garage sale, right?
He does. It does.
But you're not going to find, what does he say? Granny's
you're not going to find granny's naughty doilies or something. Something like that. He goes, this isn't like Walmart. You're not going to find granny's naughty doilies or something like that. I may have edited the word naughty out. I can't remember, but he said something to that effect. And I'm so glad we didn't find any naughty doilies. Because if you would have like picked up like a Voltron figure, and it was like Granny's Naughty Doilies were under that.
You Voltron, you don't see that too often.
No, you don't. He had two Voltrons, one with a Naughty Doily and one without it.
Oh, great episode, though. Great episode.
Well, wait till you see the exciting conclusion in episode 7, because, of course, I leave you on a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I remember it's so stupid to say. I remember being there now that I watch it, but that particular,
I'm glad it was a year ago
where that was. That's a long time, buddy. Where that was too. I remember we're kind of looking over our shoulders every 2 seconds. We're like, should we be here?
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting because it was the third store on the East Coast. There was another one planned some communication lines crossed where they thought we were coming, but we weren't coming. And they had offered to take us to like a warehouse, but then they decided they weren't going to, and that we could look around their store and buy something if we wanted, but they didn't really want us to film. And
I forgot about that store.
Don't you remember? Because that store is, I came out after talking to the owner and there was a fight in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, stay back. Look at these hillbillies. They're like rolling around in the street, just like fighting, and people are screaming.
Oh, I'm sorry. My allergies are going crazy here.
There's like ice cream dropped on cement. It's just a sad scene.
I think it was, Ryan and I outside or me and Dave? I think it was Ryan and I.
I think it was you and Ryan. I think I brought Dave inside because they had like Warhammer stuff in there as well. And he's like, oh, just take a look.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that there was that miscommunication and given.
Well, because we drove away for like at least four stores plus whatever we could find. But like, wow, this would be cool because there's like a warehouse that we get to go into. That would be visually different than a store, you know? Yeah. Maybe we can do some digging in that.
Then not.
So this was like the third store, and I was really hoping it was going to be something great. And it was like, it really. Like that store alone was worth the drive there and back for everything that transpired. Like you said, Giant Robot, amazing store, really cool owner, Daryl. Cape and Cal was great as well. Like all three stores that we hit in the East Coast were very different from one another, which is awesome for the series so that nothing looks the same. I mean, most of these stores don't look the same anyways, but it was great to see that variety and they all had their own character. So I'm glad that that worked out because we just don't know because we're thousands of miles away.
Yeah, that's true. I'll go on record as to say too, I think it was pretty crappy of that unnamed toy store to pull that when we showed up there. But.
You know, that's the way it goes. And I just won't be back down to that store. I think it was in downtown Halifax. I mean, the store looked cool. It was in a cool location, but, they didn't really have anything vintage anyways. Their most vintage stuff was like the Star Wars 90s stuff, Power of the Force 2 collection.
Yeah, no. So. And don't get me wrong. There's absolutely nothing wrong with any shop owners or collectors or anybody not wanting to be on camera.
Sure.
Because if you've never been on camera at first, it's strange. It's a little weird. I can see some people not wanting to do that. But to say yes, and then we drive all that way out of our way.
And we plan our day.
Now we're not going to do that. Now we don't want to do that. We're not going to take you to the place we said. That's just a crappy thing.
Yeah. And we planned our day. And like, because we thought we were going there, there's a bunch of footage after Lost World where we talk about, okay, we got one more store to hit and I can't use that because we actually don't end up going to that store. So I have to cut around that and find an outro, you know, an out point that doesn't make use of that. So we couldn't build up that last store, so to speak, unfortunately, but it all worked out. So episode six is out there streaming now.
The stuff in Lost World 2, I will say, is more than made up for it. So check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And less arguing, but good arguing between Jay and myself.
That was a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. Well, somebody's got to push your buttons. That's what I do. Right?
Clearly.
You had a question that we were going to address last week. Again, these viewers and listeners just keep infiltrating the things that they want to hear about, but I wanted to get to your topic, and that was, if you could only collect one action figure line for the rest of your life, what would it be? And I gave this question a lot of thought, and of course I'm gonna wait to hear what you say, but I want to know why this came up for you. Like, what spurred this topic? Do you hate all toys and you're only gonna like one kind of toy?
Yeah, I was thinking about all the IPs that are still ongoing and just like, if I had to just choose one, which one would it be? And I came up with an answer, which you will disagree with, I'm sure.
Now, are you saying IP or like a single toy line? So like if you said G.I. Joe, does that mean you have to pick like Real American Hero, or does that include everything that's G.I. Joe?
I meant it to be like the whole IP. So if you pick Star Wars, you could collect anything that's Star Wars, but that's it.
Gotcha.
So I want to hear what you would pick. I think actually I don't even have a clue. I think there's two things. You'd probably go Turtles or He-Man. No, I go Mythic Legions.
Well, Jesus, there's enough of that to get into. And it's certainly new enough that it'd be interesting. And you can't go wrong with the way the figures look in Legions. And you can part swap the crap out of it. And hunting them down is harder than most of the vintage stuff that you and I love, because they've been all snapped up, right? Like yeah, those things yeah. skyrocket in value in the aftermarket. So from a collecting strategy standpoint, Mythic Legions would be something that would keep you busy forever, without a doubt. I first thought you meant like one line. So then I thought, okay, do I want to do Masters of the Universe? Would it be vintage Masters, or would it be classics, or would it be
whatever? Well, we can change. If you've given thought to that, we can switch it up to that. I don't care. That's fine.
It doesn't matter. I can answer both. If it was one specific line and I could only do one, I think it would probably be superpowers, because I think the line is big enough and there's enough variance in it that just collecting them loose, collecting all the vehicles, collecting the Hall of Justice, and then trying to get them carded would be more than a lifetime worth of stuff to get them in the condition that you want, without taking up too much space, and they would look great as a display, either packaged or not. And they're eternal characters, right? Like, you're always going to love Batman, Superman, and it's a core line of my youth. It's achievable as well. You know, it's not like you'll never finish it. Like, I don't think anybody can ever collect all the Star Wars stuff or even all the Marvel Legends stuff at this point, right? Like, if you were starting now in particular, like, that would be really f-ing difficult.
It would be hard. It'd be hard. That's for sure. Okay. Didn't see that. That's respectable. I would say Joe, because there's Real American Hero. There's so many different years, even though there is. And so if you got bored, you could just focus on 1986, or you could focus on 1994. And it's fun to go through the Belomo guide and, oh man, they made like three versions of that guy. I still see characters. I'm like, oh, they made that? There's just an absolute ton to collect. And this is just loose. Even if you were just doing the figures with no accessories and no vehicles and no play sets, it would take you a long time. And that sounds fun. That's kind of my goal now, is to do the 82 to 94. I've been on that goal for a couple of years, and it's fun. I could pick it up and put it down, and I don't feel that crazy pressure. And I like to focus. It's like, oh, now I'm going to start to focus on the Ninja Force part of Real American.
Yeah. I like the subsets of a Real American Hero. I think that's a fun distraction to kind of focus on Tiger Force or Viper Patrol. Viper Patrol?
Python.
Yeah. Python Patrol. Of course, there's an alliteration. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. That's what I figured you would say.
I would like to say Star Wars, but Star Wars has become so boring to me, that the action figure collecting, that I can't do it. If they
I could see you going after the vintage ones if you weren't ever worried about 3D printing and like knockoffs and stuff like that.
The vintage, yeah, I would be more inclined to do the vintage collection. But now the problem with that, as we've seen, is that they're reissuing.
Yeah.
The newest expensive reissue is Pre-Vizsla. She's a female bounty hunter from the Old Republic, worth a ton of money. Now they reissued her. And I mean, I know Hasbro doesn't care. They have zero stakes in the vintage market, right? But it just, he devalues it. I really liked how, okay, that guy was printed and you never see him again. That's it. I really loved that.
Just like Yak Face on a Return of the Jedi card is coming out, but he was exclusive to the sail barge or whatever. Well, right?
There's no Power of the Force coin. That's the difference, right?
So, oh, yeah. Well, loose. How are you going to tell?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, I would say Joe, there's a part of me that kind of wants to go to your opposite, where you do superpowers. I would want to do Secret Wars. And although I love the figures, the vehicles are just, I think the vehicles are terrible for Secret Wars.
Yeah. Well, there's just not enough figures in Secret Wars either. I mean, there's like 15, 18, if you count the exclusives, like
the superpower vehicles, although they're outlandish and somewhat ridiculous, most of them, they're still really fun. And they're colorful.
It's the color. It makes me want to play when I see the superpowers line.
The palette's great. So on my show Friday, we were talking about the Hall of Justice and how the front of it is incredible. And a couple of the guys that are on the panel mentioned that when you open it, there's a lot of great play features, but they didn't like the bright colors. I was like, oh man, I love the bright colors.
Yeah. Did they grow up in the Zack Snyder movies? Do they want something that's desaturated, or is it okay that comic book characters have comic book colors?
No, it was the box art itself. The Hall of Justice was in the far, far background, and Batman, Robin, they were so prominent that you couldn't really see the Hall of Justice kind of thing.
Gotcha. But,
I mean, that's just, nitpicking, but.
No, I'm with you, man. Like filming the stuff for Action Figure Adventure Season 2, the cutaways and all the work that took, like some of my favorite stuff to film was always the superpower stuff. And in particular, that Hall of Justice, because it's so bright yellow. It was so awesome to capture on camera. I love it.
That's still one that's on my list for my personal collection. And we've seen it a few times.
Yeah, it's out there. It's not hard, but that's what I love about superpowers. That stuff is out there. It's just difficult enough that it still feels like a hunt, but it still feels super rewarding when you get it. And there's, you want the accessories, which is, loose, complete, something on a card, something on a mint card. They have the short cards as well. Like there's just a lot of collecting to it, which is why, if I had to pick one, that's a lot to collect without being overkill. Like there's, you could keep expanding or you can contract. Whereas if you tackle a real American hero, in my opinion, trying to do that whole carded collection, unless you're putting out a book, Carson, like that just seems like a lot of stress.
Yeah. And I'm happy with one or two examples, and that's what I have in my collection for a lot of these lines. I have one carded Buck figure, one carded Black Hole. I just like having one of each is fine. I don't need the whole line carded. But that's what's great. Everyone gets something different out of toy collecting.
Yeah. Let's jump to some of our questions for this week that we didn't get to last week. We'll save some of the other topics that I had planned for next week's show. This question comes from John, and he says, you've mentioned how there are certain properties in the past that haven't gotten much love in the toy figure department. Things like James Bond for a long time, Indiana Jones. Are there any other franchises that you're just baffled as to why they don't have a growing toy line?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Up until last year, and that would be Flash Gordon, the Sam Jones Flash Gordon. Completely baffled. That came out right before Empire Strikes Back. Had an incredible soundtrack, and that movie is fantastic. And there's so much to it. Nothing. Boss Fight Studios, they've released the one Flash Gordon with the sword. That's it so far. Even the two that are coming out, it's another Flash. Sorry, not the Flash Gordon with the sword, the Flash Gordon with the football trophy. And then there's Prince Baron. That's it. Oh. I'm completely baffled. That's a movie that they could release so many figures for. I think it would do really well.
I wish they would do the Filmation Flash Gordon, at least all those characters. That'd be an easy line to do because I think
they keep doing the Defenders of the Earth Flash and Ming over and over and over.
There's like three releases of them now. It's like He-Man, Skeletor, Flash and Ming.
Well, even the Boss Fight Studios have done the classic
Flash. Well, if you're gonna release it, right, and it's new to your company, you got to release Flash and Ming, right?
But the Sam Jones ones and the Max von Sydow, I would love to see that. I think it would be great.
I can't really think of anything that begs to be released other than looking at more cartoon stuff that didn't have, a more sophisticated release. This is going to be silly, but do you remember when McFarlane, I think it was McFarlane, did like the Flintstones or the Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes stuff like 20 years ago?
No.
Yeah, 20 years ago, there was Hanna-Barbera stuff. I believe there was the Jetsons and the Flintstones for sure, and Yogi Bear, and like all the classic Hanna-Barbera characters. And then Looney Tunes had a run as well. There was like Daffy and Bugs and Elmer and Foghorn Leghorn, Sylvester and Tweety. Like some of that just seems like iconic. And with a character like Bugs Bunny, much like He-Man, because he appears in so many different like outfits and so many classic cartoons, you could easily do a diorama approach to it or a costume swap. That seems like a no-brainer. But again, that was like 20 years ago they did it, and obviously it wasn't such a big cash cow for them then.
He wanted to say hello.
We'll introduce him.
Everyone. Cheers, everyone. It's my dog, Liam. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of other lines.
Up until like the last year, Star Trek was always a big one. Like, how come there isn't a sprawling Star Trek line? Now we're getting a bunch of different ones. Reaction, Ultimates, the Playmates one.
Yeah, that's a... Did you get those ones?
I did.
Playmates ones? Yeah,
cool. Yeah, I did.
Did you get the Enterprise?
No. You obviously didn't watch the Justice Curry episode I did, because I showed them on that episode. Mm. Thanks for supporting the show that you hate about toys.
Like and subscribe, buddy.
Push that button, smash that subscribe button, and give me a like, and tune in next week.
Easy, hater.
Anybody tired of YouTube yet? Next question. Ben from Toy Power Podcast said, new awesome toys continually hitting the market at a rapid rate. True. Vintage toys more attainable than ever thanks to social media and internet selling pages. Also true. Is there an end of collecting in sight for anybody? How many toys can we keep cramming into our display cases? This goes back to our plight for the last several episodes and why Jay hates toys.
I don't think you can ever have too many toys. You can have too many of the same figure. We've talked about that.
Yeah, but you only have so much space though. Like, are you going to buy a new house because you run out of toy space?
Oh, I'm going to continue to buy even when I'm out of space. That's the least of the problems.
That's the whole thing with opening. It's like, once you start opening, you realize how much more space you have.
Well, and that's what closets are for. And no, closets crush, are not for cram. Clothes. They're not for clothes. They're for...
Jim, that's what dishwashers are for. They're not for dishes. They're to put your play sets.
Yeah, again, it's such a part of us. That would be like saying you couldn't listen to music anymore or you can't watch any more films. It's what do you do when that's like the oxygen you breathe?
Yeah, but the difference is when you consume a film or music, it doesn't take up space anywhere. Like, you experience it, right? You don't have to buy the disc to enjoy it. Or the poster or anything. Like, you can just watch it and everybody will continue to watch TV, movies, and listen to music. Yeah. But you can only buy so many toys, I think, because of all the reasons that you've expressed and because of what Ben is saying about display cases and like, where am I going to put all this stuff?
Well,
like, how do you draw the line for yourself? Even like, let's say the prices weren't an issue. The packaging wasn't an issue. Everything is affordable, accessible, and it's all just good. How do you draw the line?
Then you get to go through and purge. Which can be a lot of fun, you know, when you go...
No, I can't get rid of anything, Jay. I never did.
And it's like, collector. Why did I buy 72 versions of Kylo Ren when I had like three really great ones? No, I had to get every one. That's when you get to purge. That's a lot of fun. And that can feel really rewarding in itself because you make all this space and then you can go buy more Kylo Rens that look even better. And then more and more.
I look forward to the day when you realize that about Luke Skywalker.
I've come to that realization.
Are you going to purge them all?
Watch this. I've come to that realization. And then next year is the 40th of Return of the Jedi. If you think I have enough Lukes now, you just wait to see next year.
Exactly.
Oh, but he's on the vintage back. But now he's on the vintage back at 6-inch. Oh, but now he doesn't have his cape. Now he has his cape. It doesn't matter. Now he's retro. Now he's vintage. Ah.
Last question, and we'll save the other ones that we have for next week. Articulated Chad wants to know, which is more important to you, package art or play gimmicks? And did that change as you became an adult collector?
Package art was always important to me. It was always important to me. I remember opening my Star Wars Kenner figures and not wanting to rip the picture because, again, we couldn't just go out and get images of Han Solo, right? It was stuff I like to look at. That's always been really important to me. And I think it sells it not only to the parents, but it sells it to the kids. We want the figures more when the package looks cool. Play gimmicks, I've never cared about ever. And I still don't.
I feel like there's some gimmicks that you did like, but I can't remember any off the top of my
head. Oh, I'm sure there's some I like, but I don't care about them. Like, remember, again, let's keep talking about Kylo Ren here because that's such a great topic. Remember when the Force Awakens first figure of him came out and he came out with like a rocket launcher with him? It's
yeah.
Just like, okay.
Yeah, package art is what gets you to look at it on the shelf, right? And gets you excited about something in a line that you're already into. Like it's a renewed sense of excitement of collecting and of play, whether you're an adult or a kid. Like if you don't know the line, it's like, wow, look at that cool thing. Or if you go right to the He-Man section, and you're like, oh, what's this? Oh, the slime pit. This is cool. This is an expanded part of the universe you had never seen, which is huge, right? Like it's a whole new window to play. Gimmicks, I've always found, could limit the play. Like if a figure only works one way because of the mechanism that they've included, like you can't play with him in a certain way. My favorite example is that Toy Biz Wolverine, where one claw is one way and the other claw is this way. It's really strange to have a battle like that and it doesn't switch. And we talk about both of these in season one of Action Figure Adventure, and all these points come up. So it's not just us, which is interesting as well, that everybody felt the same. But packaging is always important and will always continue to be. It elevates the toy instantly, which is why so many collectors, I think, have a hard time opening it. And it's very few toys that when you take it out of the package feel as good as it did in the package.
Yeah. Play gimmicks too. I mean, we like to talk about Ghostbusters. That's a line, the Kenner Ghostbusters. Excuse me. Where the play gimmicks actually, I think in the long run, really hurt the sales of that toy. Because even as kids, I remember, like, this is just stupid.
I remember playing with them, though, like, but I never incorporated them into the play.
Yeah, sure. You press the trigger and his eyes come out, but it's like, I didn't need... We had our imaginations. I didn't need a gimmick to have Venkman's eyes pop up.
Begging a custom figure maker to take a Kenner Fright Features Peter Venkman and make it Jay. Make me a Jay Bartlett. Yeah, I want you as Fright Features Peter. That's what
I'll be. Fright Features Peter. You can be the toilet ghost.
Listen here with your toilet ideas, your naughty doilies. Let's get to Action Figure Spotlight this week. You need me to go first because you got to go fetch your toy, right?
I do.
And you got to get it from your shelf downstairs. Room.
Yeah, go okay. for it.
All right. So this was something that was never announced when the line started, but was the thing that I was hoping for in order to get me to buy into the line to begin with. This is a figure I am so excited about that it justified my Hasbro Pulse membership for the last 2 years, not knowing when or how it was going to drop. It's a figure that is a staple of my childhood. It's one of those figures from a huge line that has a huge collector fan base that I'm not into, but it's the one figure that I will always kind of gravitate towards and have to get and can easily hold off on 90% of the other offerings, no matter how cool they are, just because it just wasn't me. But this figure is so much me. And this is, of course, Serpentor from the Classified line. It arrived, and I haven't opened it yet. There's stickers up here that I sealed, so it just has a slip case right here so far. And I just want to take a second and showcase the awesome art that's on the back. Like that, again, talking about box art, you just get thrown into a whole world right there of everything that you must love about Serpentor. You know, I'll just kind of give a quick little pan there. I love the shot of him holding Cobra Commander. I like him on the Lincoln Memorial there. Baroness and Destro on the side there at the Air Chariot. And of course, this comes with the Air Chariot. This has the Cobra DNA Helix as well. This will be something that I open too. So inside there, you can see the figure. And he's obviously touchable. And the cape's touchable too. And I can tell you already, just from touching the cape, it's not going to disintegrate with any bit of saliva, dust, or sunlight like the vintage one does. It fits exactly what I'd hope to get from Classified in Serpentor. And again, all the accessories over here on the side, the staff, the sword, the scepter. It's just, yeah, it's everything. And I'm hoping that I get my hands on a Mindbender because he has with the DNA that builds up Serpentor so that it's a bit of a two-pack. But I can live without Mindbender. Like, he's a cool figure, but this is the real deal. And, you know, G.I. Joe Classified is not known for its vehicles, but I'm glad there was a way to make this happen. And $80 US, when you look at like a Super 7 figure being $55 without a vehicle, like a Turtle, to get this and an Air Chariot for like $25 more, 100% worth it. This made my day when it finally arrived. So
And that's Pentor, awesome. That's your guy too. So that's great.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, I don't have a lot of classified figures, and this was the one. As soon as they announced the line, I'm like, oh, I hope they get far enough down to make Serpentor. You got to go through all the Dukes and the Cobra Commanders and all the early stuff, and then hopefully you get to the fun characters that are really start to get outlandish, where G.I. Joe got like a little bit more superhero-esque and less military.
Yeah, really strange. So early on, they brought out Croc Master too. I was kind of like, wow, we're already
That was the tipping point for me. That's like, okay, now we're going down the fan favorite stuff.
And you're like me too. There's like the Joe community split, right? It's like there's the military Joe guys, and it's like you like that stuff or you don't. And you and I both love the supervillain stuff, like Boa, Croc Master, Serpentor. I love that stuff. Even Crystal Ball, I think, is great. And like,
yeah, me too.
That stuff's great. So I'm pretty picky about what I eat now that I'm a little bit older. But there was a time when I lived off a certain cereal, and I thought they discontinued this cereal. It turns out that at least in Canada only, they only release it around Halloween because it's got a spooky theme to it and all that kind of stuff. Of course, talking about Count Chocula, which probably why I'm only 5 foot something, because I was raised on Count Chocula. And I'm just so fascinated by the cereal. I don't really eat it anymore, although this year I did buy a box of it, but I did not open it. And I'll be damned if they didn't make action figures out of Count Chocula and the gang. And I passed up on the Count himself on a number of different occasions, but this final time I could not. This is by a company called Jada. I don't know a lot about Jada, but the price is incredibly reasonable. It's like $21. And we can see we have a nice window packaging here where we see the Count, an extra head and a box of cereal. So your Serpentor can hold it. And it might be to scale. But I just thought this was really fun. Again, this is kind of like the McDonald's gang. When I used to devour McDonald's, I used to love those characters too. Just a lot of fun. A nice little innocent toy. I didn't get Frankenberry. They had Frankenberry there as well, and I haven't seen the others. Fruity Yummy Mummy I never had, and I don't know who this dog guy is. And then
Fruit Brute.
Yeah, there you go. And then there's Boo Berry, of course. It's just really cool. I couldn't pass up on it. A really great deal. And he's going to be fun to unbox, and that's gonna come out on my YouTube this weekend.
Well, you had talked about Count Chocula, I think, 2 weeks ago or maybe even last week, about picking you up and how like this was like the first toy in a long time that really got you excited about toys and erased some of your hate for a momentary period. So I think it's interesting that you put down Slaughter and picked up something so infantile in its place.
Infantile. I need another Sergeant Slaughter. I can't even count how many I have in the vintage.
Well, is that what it came down to? You just realized that you had enough Slaughters, that classified Slaughter wasn't that much better, or that Count Chocula was just that unique? Was it about Slaughter or was it about Count Chocula?
It was just different. And don't get me wrong, I want that Sergeant Slaughter. I do, absolutely. But again, with this new way of thinking that I'm not really a fan of, it was like, should I really spend $55 on Sergeant Slaughter, or I can spend less than half?
$55? Is that what it is now?
At our local shop, he's $50. Oh, but if you go to GameStop, my friend, he is $64.99.
What?
So that's honestly why. And I'm not, I thought we'd bring up a show where I wasn't going to complain about the prices, but that's honestly why. And Count Chocula, he's just, you don't see stuff like this too often, right? And I'm like, you know what? I've passed him up a few times. I'm going to wish I got him, because they might not ever make another Count Chocula figure.
I was going to say, if something's going to disappear off the shelf and that's going to be harder to track down later, I think it's going to be the Count Chocula versus the classified Slaughter, which will be well stocked for a while to come.
The Slaughter looks great, don't get me wrong. I do want it.
I got Serpentor, so now of course I need Slaughter as well to complete the story diorama. I don't really need to spend $60 on a Sergeant Slaughter figure. I'm happy with the ones I got as well. So
yeah,
this figure on its own is great. You got the figure on its own, also great. Hey, it's like we like toys again, or well, it's crazy that you like toys again.
I know, isn't it? It's hard to imagine
a world where they like toys.
Two seasons of a TV show, and then we had our other toy TV show.
Yeah, we did 40 weird episodes of actual TV, and yeah, for some reason, you hate toys. It's just like after we made Nintendo Quest, you hated Nintendo. Everything comes back in fashion.
I know. I remember a crazy question someone asked me after Nintendo Quest was finally released. And they're like, are you gonna play all the games? Are you gonna stream every game and play them? And I said no. And they're like, oh, you don't like it anymore? I'm just like, whatever you want to make of it, man, sure.
Whatever you need. You tell me how I can please you, and that's how I'll rearrange my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. So that'll do it for another episode of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. Jay, what do you got coming up on deck for your channel this week, and where can people find you?
So we have on my YouTube channel Count Chocula Unboxing, and I might have to crack open one of the... I bought two sealed boxes this year of Count Chocula. I don't really drink... I don't have dairy anymore.
Have next almond milk. It's so good.
I might do almond milk, yeah, because I do that. So I might have to have a bowl of Count Chocula when I open this. I think that would be pretty cool. That's coming this weekend.
Oh, I can't wait to hear you slosh that around in your mouth as you describe
it. My Shure microphone, which will pick up every little crunch.
You know, oh my God.
And we got a couple live streams, a new show with my buddy Willie Lowe from Twitch fame. We're going to be doing reactions to some old video game content.
Cool.
And then Chad and I go live, of course, and we talk about toys, and we pit two little dollies against each other. It's a lot of fun.
And if you're lucky, when you watch Jay versus Chad, and sometimes they have a guest, you may see me pop in the chat just to irritate here and there, stir it up, and then leave without warning.
Yeah, it's great. It's just kind of like real life.
And with that, we will wrap the show, leaving without warning. I hope you love toys. We know Jay doesn't. You know, your Chrome credit card debt is killing your passions. Sorry, that's life these days. Take care of yourself and each other. The best time of day isn't playtime for Jay, unless it's video games.
It's Chrome time.
It's Chrome time.